You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Rogue, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links not only this show, but some of our other shows like The Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me via the Zoom studio and from your mom's diary is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
I'm just dandy, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Sean, it is so nice to have you on the podcast. I'm really excited about it.
Oh, I know. I apologize. I missed out on last week, but I'm garnering the strength to record.
Well, would it make you feel better if I told you that I re-uploaded our Ace Ventura episode on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MisfitFactionMediaNetwork, and our short from one of the episodes, like I did a clip, over 7,000 views. All about Jim Carrey, because they don't find us interesting. They found Jim Carrey interesting. But so
our baseball episode is doing pretty good.
Our baseball episode was doing very well. Yes, a couple of hundred views, I think. So we are moving though into the realm of video. So this is our first official cinematic on video. So if you guys are listening on Podbean, we still love you very much. If you want to see Sean's handsome face and what I have going on for me right now, you can check us out on YouTube. So make sure you guys do that. Like, comment, subscribe, and, you know, all that cool stuff. But we are here. We're excited because we are going to talk about a movie that defined a childhood, a movie that defines what pizza should look like, a movie that defines what music should go with a movie, and a movie that defines maybe you shouldn't do a sequel. And that is a Goofy movie. That was your cue.
Why are you knocking the movie?
I'm not knocking the movie.
Goofy?
Dad jokes for days right there. I still love the title sequence though, when the title sequence comes up and it's just like a movie, and then Goofy dropped
the
in.
The famous Goofy yell.
The famous Goofy. I mean,
you said it. This movie defines a generation, I think. I honestly, this, anyone who's our age, maybe a couple years older, a couple years younger, it's just one of those movies that we all love. I mean, I can't put my finger on it. It's not the greatest Disney movie ever made. It's not, you know, unbelievable songs that just, you know, scream Oscar nominations.
Whoa.
Hear me out.
Powerline was a defining rock star for our generation.
Okay. I'm not knocking the song. What I'm saying is they're not like in the realm of like Circle of Life or, you know, the Beauty and the Beast or Little Mermaid songs, but they are very well done songs which I'll compare to you later on in the episode for what I feel this kind of reminds me of a lot of. But it was also the first animated movie that really spoke to teenagers.
Yeah, it was definitely during that transitional period from like, because so the movie starts off with Max Goof. And is this our first time ever getting introduced to him? Because I know that they brought him into a lot more mainline stuff afterwards.
Goof Troop.
He was in Goof Troop. Yeah. So, and, but like now, I think afterwards they also did House of Mouse, where
I can't speak for House of Mouse. I didn't really watch that. I know they did come out with a Christmas like special with like all three major Disney characters all had their own stories. And it was like, took place before Goof Troop. So like Max was like 5 or 6 years old.
But I do remember, yeah, they had House of Mouse where it was like the movie theater type place. And it was like,
No, I know what you're talking about.
Max worked there as an usher. And I think they did do an episode with Roxanne.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fun fact from the fan pack. There you go, everyone.
I'll be honest, I don't really remember this movie in theaters. Like, I don't think I saw it in theaters. I think I saw it later on. On Disney Channel.
Or even I had this on VHS.
Yeah. Did
we ever figure out what VHS stood for? Is it Video Home Service or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, this was
Video Home System.
Video Home System. That's why it's a VHS tape. Oh, it's all coming together for all of
the younger generation.
A circle.
It's like a circle. That's a movie we'll do at some point when it's not too politically incorrect. But anyway, do you want to go through the cast or the plot first?
Well, we can go through. I was going to do a quick, like, you know, how this movie came about, and then I can do a summary on the cast. What would you
do? A background. Hit the background. Mm-hmm.
Well, so the movie came out in the spring of 1995. So we're just short of its 30th anniversary.
Oof.
And it's in the Disney Renaissance era of the musicals on animation, but it really, it's not part of that, you know, grouping of films. It's kind of like its own thing. And it was done, obviously, Goof Troop had come out onto TV a couple of years earlier, was a fairly successful hit of a TV show. And it was kind of just going forward with those characters and seeing where they could bring it. And so then, you know, we got the cast here.
Hold on, before you do the cast, we totally forgot. We didn't do any news.
We did not do any news.
I'm sorry,
you're right. No, you're right. So we did, as of recording today, the Oscar nominations did come out back on Wednesday, I believe.
To Wednesday?
We're going
to
go more.
To Wednesday?
A Wednesday.
I thought you said Wednesday.
No, a Wednesday.
A Wednesday.
We'll go more in depth on them in our next episode because I think we're a little time crunched today. But
the controversy.
I got a lot to say about the Oscar vows this year. I'm really.
Oppenheimer walked away with like 18 nominations or something like that.
Yeah, no, I did. But I'm generally ticked off that
Greta Gerwig
didn't get nominated.
Really?
Robbie too, but Greta Gerwig didn't get nominated for Best Director. I was really. I just thought that was really
just
ridiculous.
But he's Ken.
Just Ken.
He is
just Ken.
I can't wait to do an episode about the Oscars with you. You seem turned up. I love it.
Year in year, man. Every year they do something more to piss me off, and I just like I'm like you know I used to defend the Oscars all the time, and now it's getting harder and harder to do it.
Oh my God, they just lost their first fan.
Yeah, seriously.
Who's gonna?
All right, I don't even know who's hosting this. It's probably Jimmy Kimmel.
Honestly. Yeah.
So we got the cast here. So we have Bill Farmer as Goofy. Mm-hmm. Bill Farmer had been doing the voice of Goofy basically since the late 80s, and I believe he is still the current voice of Goofy.
How old is he?
He is 72.
Wow, good for him.
He's been the performer of the voice of Goofy since 1987, and he's also been the voice of Pluto and Horace Horse Collar since 1990.
I know all those characters, but still, it always bothers me the whole Pluto versus Goofy thing.
Yes, that's always been an issue.
Somebody said that Goofy and his son are cows. I need verification. Are they dogs?
I'm pretty confident they're dogs. I don't think they're cows.
As am I. However, we have Pluto, who is subjugated to living outside. Oh no, it does say anthropomorphic dog. Is it because Pluto can't talk? What a weird set of rules this place has. Justice for Pluto. I'm making sure it's justice for Pluto. First he's not a planet anymore. Now he's just a dog. Pluto.
I've been feeling around and, you know, we're on Pluto. How do you know? From the bar.
See? Yeah, still got one of the best space jokes we know.
Yeah, I can't beat it. All right, we've got Jason Marsden as Maximilian Goofy's troubled teenage son. Now, we know Jason Marsden, obviously, from Boy Meets World.
Mm-hmm.
Very big in the early 90s teen comedy.
I'm pretty sure he's going to be at Awesome Con.
And we also have, I think he is, because I think it's like most of the Boy Meets World cast is going to be there. And I think he's considered one of them.
Well, obviously,
however, do the singing of a Max.
Oh, no. But you know what we know him probably the best from voice-wise, right?
What is that?
Hocus Pocus.
That is right. Zachary Binks.
I remember him on Boy Meets World. I liked him on Boy Meets World. He played Eric Spren for like the first season.
I think it was first or second season. And he was like a good little sidekick for Eric. He made Eric out to be like kind of smart.
Yeah.
But then once they made Eric dumber, and that's when they brought in Matthew Lawrence.
He was also Nelson on Full House. Totally forgot. The other boyfriend. Wow. What a day. Like, I'm learning so much today. What a show we have.
Seriously.
All right. But, keep going.
Fun fact, the guy who does the singing for Max, his name is Aaron Lohr. And you guess what he's from?
I'm going to say, I want to probably another Disney property, something like The Mighty Ducks D2, Dean Portman. I wasn't looking up as you asked.
Well, you were looking up, but okay, fine.
Yes, I didn't know, that's funny. I didn't know that Dean Portman could sing. Good for him.
He can. If he actually, he's also in Newsies. He plays one of the, he's like one of the extra boys that sings in that movie. And he's currently married to Idina Menzel.
And to bring it back, we just talked about Rent. We mentioned him on Rent as well.
We did.
We did. God, make sure you guys check that episode out. Like, comment, subscribe. But anyway, keep going, Sean.
Oh, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
We've got the great Rob Paulsen as PJ, Pete's son and Max's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
We have Jim Cummings, another just absolute, you know, legend in the voice, Disney voice casting as Pete, Goofy's colleague, whom him and Max encounter on their road trip. Pete's been around since
forever.
The beginning.
Yeah.
He's been around since the beginning. I think he was Mickey's like
antagonist
before he was Goofy's antagonist.
I'm pretty sure he was in Steamboat Willie. Like, he owns the boat.
Yeah. No, he's the bad guy in Steamboat Willie. Good call.
I learned that from
We have Kelly Martin as the voice of Roxanne, Max's kind-hearted school crush.
All right, hold on. We got to address this. Did you ever have a weird crush on Roxanne?
Yeah.
It's not weird, right?
I mean, we were kids. It is what it is.
I was so confused. Like, that opening dream sequence, it elicited. It made weird. Like, between her and Jessica Rabbit, I wasn't sure if there was something wrong with me for quite some time.
Well, we still think there's something wrong with you.
That's fair. Thank God my wife's listening to noise-canceling headphones. Oh, if she can hear me, I lied. Going to have some splaining to do. But yeah, for a character that, like, the whole plot kind of revolves around, like, the whole movie revolves around his quest to impress Roxanne for the most part.
Yeah.
Not really in it a lot.
No, she has basically the beginning scene and at the end.
Yeah.
But it's that, again, as I say, it's the first real animated movie that speaks to, you know, that time in your life where you want to impress a girl. You want to be, you know, the coolest kid in the town. Mm-hmm. You know, it does all of those. This movie addresses all of those things.
Can we also talk about how this movie predicted lip sync battles? Like, Max decides, I'm going to be the coolest kid in my entire town by lip syncing to the most popular pop star at the time. Like,
that's true. That scene alone is classic. I mean, that is the ultimate boss move. Like, I always dreamt, I was like, I'm going to do that when I'm, like, getting ready to graduate from school.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to lip sync to, like, some crazy artist that
we should have planned this. We graduated together. Why did
you? Yeah, not high school. I was more like, you know, middle school.
Oh, for middle school. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Weirdo.
I think past high school, I was like, I'm past that.
But so going to it, I know we'll talk about it at some point. What is your favorite song from this movie?
It's gotta be After Today. After Today.
Really? I do like that song. I really do. And it was a toss-up between that and Eye to Eye.
Well, Eye to Eye is great. But and so is Standout. They're all great. I love there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Technically, there's only 6 songs in the movie. And they're all, you know, 5 out of the 6 are very, very good. I'm not counting Lester's possum part.
Oh yeah, no.
Which is just a nice, fun little knock on Country Bear Jamboree.
I'm not gonna lie though, I would always skip over that really sad song that they sing while their car that suddenly knows how to float is floating.
It's a great song though.
As an adult, I like that song. Okay,
I totally understand what you're saying, but I mean, it's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the part of the plot is that he's trying to get to the concert of the number one, you know, rock star in their world. His name is Powerline, and it's voiced by Tevin Campbell. Well, I had no idea who that was.
Mm-mm.
I still really don't know enough about Tevin Campbell. I mean, he was a star back in like the early 90s, I think, mostly. I don't know what he is, if he still does music today, but he wrote both those songs, Standout and Eye to Eye, and I think they're great.
Good for him. Let's see. Yeah, he's not doing too much now. I mean, he's doing some TV. That's kind of his thing right now. But yeah, good for him. Yeah, that's such good music.
It'd be like, you know, did they try to get like a Michael Jackson to voice that, to sing that character?
This movie came out in 95. So I'm trying to think, what was the popular music in 1995? I don't know what the popular music is now, and I'm alive.
Well, 95, that's pre Backstreet Boys, pre NSYNC.
And it's definitely
Michael Jackson's still popular. Prince is kind of like on his near the end of really like.
Well, he was the artist stardom. Formerly known as Prince at that point.
Yeah, he was the artist formerly known. But yeah, I mean, Tevin Campbell. I mean, I think that character's probably based off of him. I mean, It sounds like that's exactly what he was. He was a superstar in the teeny bopper, teeny bopper craze.
Thank God Nirvana wasn't too popular at this time, because imagine that. Oof.
I don't know if they could do a cartoon version of Nirvana. I would like to see.
I think it would actually be really funny. This was the time where Disney would have done it too, where they would have made fun of that sort of thing. What's the song that they sing on the road again or whatever it is?
Yeah, on the open road.
On the open road, like that would have been a perfect time for them to parody like our Nirvana. That's a great song too. I do like that song.
Yeah, like I said, I enjoy all the songs in this movie. I really do, and it's not, you know. It's again, they're not like the most memorable songs. Like you don't remember them crazily like you do Under the Sea or, you know, A Whole New World, but for the movie that they were made for, they serve a great purpose and they do the job. So after Tevin Campbell, we have Wallace Shawn as Principal Mazur, who you could say is the antagonist of the movie because he basically screws Max's life up.
I would actually argue that Pete is the antagonist of this movie. Everything that Goofy does is in direct relation to Pete. Not so much the principal does call home and he's like, I can't believe they actually got away with the line about the kid going to the electric chair.
The electric chair.
Woof. You can't.
Well, that's how principals spoke back in the 90s, man. Don't you remember that?
That's why we were so scared of authority. They threatened death. But anyway, we don't support corporal punishment here on the show. But yeah, so he gets that call, but it's based off the conversation he had with Pete that makes him react the way that he does.
That's true.
So like I will always say in any Disney medium, if Pete is involved, he is not. He's the bad guy. And then you got PJ.
Oh, Pete's always the bad guy.
I love PJ, though. It's just
DJ's cool. And I just love listening because, I mean, again, Rob Paulson is the voice of PJ and. Nothing against Rob Paulson, but Rob Paulson does Rob Paulson's voice. So if you're hearing him speak and you're like, oh, that's Raphael. Oh, that's Ace Ventura. Oh, that's The Mask. I mean, it's the same voice. So it's like, it's always fun to hear that voice do all these different characters. We got, so I said Tevin Campbell. We got Frank Welker as Bigfoot, which I still think is one of the funniest scenes in the movie.
I like anything where something's happening in the background.
When he's doing the Staying Alive dance in the background. Yep. I crack up. It doesn't matter. I know it's coming, but I laugh every time that happens. But okay, so the next guy I'm going to mention, you want to know how 90s this movie is, and that is Pauly Shore.
Did you hear he's going to be Richard
Bobby Zdemruski?
Did you hear he's going to be Richard Simmons?
It's not official. It's a short movie. Like he's not going to do a full length movie about it.
Yeah. Well, I will.
Richard Simmons won't allow it.
I will say that Bobby is his name, right? They don't really mention his name too often, but I will say he has one of the best lines in the second movie where he goes, does anybody notice how we're always wearing gloves? It's one of the funniest lines. And I love self-aware humor. I am not a big Pauly Shore fan. I liked him enough when, you know, like you're Encino Man and stuff like that. But then he exploded. He was one of those guys that's really great supporting, but not so good when you give him his own movie. Perfect example. Rob Schneider. I like Rob Schneider when he has the right people to work off of. Grown Ups, I like Rob Schneider. The Animal, okay, he's in it. Will still defends The Hot Chick and Deuce Bigelow in this house. They're terrible movies, but we think they're funny as hell. And I will never not laugh in you've seen The Hot Chick, right?
Yeah, back when it was out.
We will never not laugh at the pillow fight scene where he whips and hits one of the girls in the stomach and she just takes that sharp inhale. I'll never not laugh at it. It's just the funniest. I love physical comedy. You know that. But anyway, stop getting me distracted.
You're the one that brings up Rob Schneider.
It's so funny that producer Melanie just mimed it off camera. She's doing the sound effects too. It's all, you guys are all one big distraction. All right. So that's the main cast.
Yes, that's the main cast, Paul.
Okay.
It's your turn now.
Oh, it's my turn. Thank you so much. So
yeah, I've been talking mostly the whole time here.
Because you're so good. You know the fun facts. But anyway, so the movie basically, after Max gets in trouble for trying to impress this girl, Goofy takes it upon himself to to put his son in the right direction. And he decides to do that with the worst activity humanly possible. And that's family bonding. Forced family bonding. That is a toxic thing. Stop it. No, I'm just kidding. Goofy came, he was coming from the right place. Like he wanted, he obviously he's not so much a disciplinarian, but he wants what's best for his son. And it's one of those things that when you're young, you side with Max. You're like, he's making him do this. This is the worst. As adults, and like, you know, as I don't want to say mature because I have a Spider-Man poster on my wall right here behind me, but as seasoned adults, like we get it, like having that valuable time with your family and stuff like that. So the movie is a road trip buddy cop type movie. Like it's the two of them and they're contrasting. I don't know. They're different. But anyway, so halfway through, though, Max takes over as the navigator. And that's when the movie starts to dip, where originally, and I think for me, as somebody watching this, I was like, it would have been fair if they each got to pick where they went. But God, if my parents brought me to that possum thing, I would have lost my mind. And it, like the horror of it, like that little girl who's just like sitting there with the braces, like that, there's some nightmare imagery.
And missing teeth. And,
there's some nightmare fuel in this. Like the opening scene.
Because the whole point is Goofy is recreating what his father did for him.
What is Goofy's dad's name? Do we know?
You never find out.
Never find out. And we will
never find out their mom's name either. You never find out his wife, former wife's name. Or,
we're all going to talk about the fact that Goofy hayucked someone.
He did hayuck. Yep.
And
probably very good at hayucking too.
Probably. Well, not good enough to keep her. But anyway.
Well, I think she died, dude.
They never say it. So I'm just going to assume that she left for another dog.
No, it's a Disney movie. You got to assume they die.
Oh, yeah. Everybody dies in Disney movies. It's horrible. They're going to get the electric chair, apparently.
So basically what you're telling me is Bambi's mother didn't die. She went hayucked with some other deer.
It might have been Goofy. Who knows? There are no rules in this universe. Everything is different. But anyway, so they do eventually, you know, come to blows where Goofy finds out that his son is taking him to this concert that he lied about going to impress Roxanne. And, you know, they get to their head and then they find their peace and they work together to get to the concert. And through
they survive a waterfall.
They do, with the perfect cast and parachuting and cars that suddenly float, but only the top half floats.
They magically, and they still have the car at the end.
Which is wild. And it's still one of the best bits of comedy when it just comes trudging through. But, and it's a happy ending movie. Like, you know, we have, obviously the concert scene is super iconic nowadays. The dance that Goofy does, you know, we see it a lot of times, like social media is really big with, you know, people doing the dance and the music. And it's just such the perfect cast. Dad, do the perfect cast. It's just, it literally is perfect. It's hard to find things wrong with this movie. It is such a perfect movie. It's a great movie for parents to show their kids, for kids that are getting a little bit older to watch and kind of relate to Max with. You know, it's one of those very few movies, especially nowadays, that has a perfect balance of this is for the kids, this is for the adults. We get it, like as adults watching it, the kids get it because they're going through all this stuff. And it's one of those rare movies that I like, if it's on, which it never is, you rarely find this movie on TV. I will watch it. I will watch it.
I turn it on, periodically on Disney Plus. You know, it's just one of those, you know, it's always a good time to watch. You know, it can be on in the background. I don't even have to be really paying attention to it. It's just something to listen to.
What would be your Star City rating for it?
I'd give it a 4.
I'm with you. I think a 4 is solid. I might even argue if I'm a little drunk, it's a 4.5. Or if I'm around people that know the words to the songs and we're dancing, 4.5. Yeah, solid.
There you go.
Four and a half by circumstance.
I mean, it's crazy because it was released at theaters. I mean, it was made on like a $15 million budget and it doubled its budget, but it was no, you know, blockbuster by any, it wasn't a blockbuster by any stretch. It's just, again, it's one of those movies that just found a life on video and really has kind of become a cult classic to the point where, couple years later, 5 years later, when did this come out?
2000.
5 years later, we got the amazing direct to video sequel. An extremely goofy movie.
It is the most 90s to 2000s thing you could possibly do. You added the phrase extreme in some capacity, and there's a whole subplot about skating.
Yeah. Skateboarding. It's crazy.
I thought they do rollerblading.
Rollerblading. No, I thought they do skateboarding too.
I think they do a little bit of everything. But all right, so
yeah,
who
it's like Brink.
Stop it. Who would win in a fight? A skate fight? Brink or Max Goof?
Brink.
You think Brink? I think I don't know.
All he has to do is skate better.
Skate better. Skate better. Oh, okay. All right. That's fair. All you gotta do is just skate better. Let's go watch him skate better. We're gonna do that movie at some point. We're gonna do a whole like Disney Channel original, like My Date with the President's Daughter, etc. Like that's great. Oh, those are good. But this movie rolled around. I remember it's 2000, so we were 13-ish, 14-ish.
Yeah.
We were the perfect age. They nailed it with their demographics going from 1995 to this, because we aged with
the same audience.
Same audience. And now we were same just audience. Older. And there was nothing cooler than like the X Games were the big thing, you know, big extreme sports and stuff like that. Like, and also they were still nerds. So like it was the perfect storm of like just the things that we were interested in at the time. Like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater was out at
Tony
the
Hawk, yeah.
Oh God. Like Tony Hawk's doing supplement commercials for bad knees now. And I'm like, oh no. Oh, this is where we're at in life. He's talking about CoQ10. I don't know what it is, but I feel like my knee needs it. So, but this movie rolls around. And I remember when it first came out, we had it on tape, and my dad had one of those cars with the tape player in it. So we would watch like the same five movies just over and over again, because we would just leave them in there. And this was one of them. We watched this movie so many times, and I love this movie. It's not better than the first one.
You're different than me. I didn't care for this movie. Like it. I remember seeing it once, and then honestly, I don't think I saw it again for a long time. It just didn't do it for me.
Interesting. Is there anything that you
did? It's also not a musical.
It's not. There's only the one musical number in it, and that's when they do Shake Your Groove thing, and the librarian gets super hot for 5 minutes, and everybody's, whoa, because she changes her hair. That was also a really big thing in the 2000s-ish. Like, She's All That is the biggest example of it. And then they make fun of it in Not Another Teen Movie, where she's like, all right, I'm going to do something and you got to trust me. And all she does is undo her hair, takes off her glasses. She's like, I'm a genius. Look at this. Nailed it. But like, She's All That is the perfect example of like, oh my God, she's so ugly. Oh, she just changed her clothes and cut her hair. She's fine. It's stupid. But yeah, this movie, it's interesting though, because it also ages with the adults, because Max goes off to college with his friends and Goofy suffering from empty nest syndrome. Like he's got nobody in the house. He's lonely. And like, especially as adults now, like that's sad. I get it, but oh my God, was that not the best course of action to rebond with your son, especially showing up in the disco outfit and he just busts into college. Like that's a nightmare. That's horrifying. Can you imagine if your first day of college, your parent walks in? Oh no. It's like grandma's boy. We brought him lunch. Ugh, cringe.
I just remember because, again, yeah, we were 13, so we were still far away from going to college. But it was like that whole, you know, teen comedy kind of structure to the movie. It just kind of felt like nerds against the jocks.
Oh, yeah.
And the nerds get in, kind of start to creep into the jocks' territory. And then they look to, you know... It's all the tropes that are there for like a solid teen comedy, you know, except for it's animated.
And it did well with the critics. Like it did fine.
Yeah, it was a solid movie. Don't get me wrong. It was just not, to me, it wasn't that memorable.
Yeah, it's hard. Like you think of the first movie, it's easy to like remember. Like the second one, I kind of have to really think about it. And I'm like, didn't they do something with skating? I feel like they did something with skating. I'm sure this movie's on Disney Plus. This movie's got to be on Disney Plus.
Did they do something like that?
Something skate. We're going to do a skating movie marathon. Just all the movies with skating. Is this movie on Disney Plus? I hate looking down while I'm on.
I believe it is. Yes. I'm pretty confident it is.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one. But would you feel comfortable doing a Star City rating for it?
Yeah. I mean, as I recall, I would say it was a 3.
A 3? You could give it Three's nice. I like 3 just because of nostalgia purposes. I'm going to give it a 3.5, and also just to annoy you because I love annoying you.
Fine. I don't have a problem with this movie. Like, I don't want to make it sound like I don't like it. I just don't care that much about it. It didn't bother me. It wasn't a bad movie. It's not something I go back to watch, really.
Didn't do it for you. It just didn't get
it just didn't do it for me.
But
Yeah, but you know, again, happy ending, you know, and of course somehow Goofy knows how to skate efficiently.
Doesn't he like, isn't he like attracted to the girl, but she ends up going with PJ?
No. PJ gets the artsy chick, who, that's when I first learned about snapping as a form of applause. She's like the coffee house chick. And then Goofy gets, he's trying to get with the librarian. And then he ends up accidentally joining the frat house because he can accidentally skate. And he competes against his son. And then he works together with his son. And they save somebody from actually dying. One of the characters gets like crushed. Apparently they took that out of, they censored that on broadcast afterwards after the 9/11 attacks. So yeah, there's a few, you know, a lot of censorship after that of just some certain things. But Brad Garrett played that character too. Tank.
Yep, I saw that. It's, I mean, solid voice cast. I mean, you know, B.B. Newhart, Brad Garrett, Pauly Shore is back, Rob Paulson's back, Jim Cummings is back. Yeah. So yeah, no, solid voice cast.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my 3.5. I think this is another movie that warrants a rewatch, though. I haven't watched it in years. Despite the common conception, I don't sit at home watching cartoons. I just
We're a month away from 24 years since this was released.
That's college age. There are people that have been born and went to college in the time that this movie has been out. Oh no. Oh gosh. Am I having a panic attack? I should call someone. But anyway, that's going to take us towards the end of our episode. Obviously, it's a little bit of a quick one today because Sean is still fighting a cold and we are sympathetic-ish.
I appreciate that.
Cut that out. But we do have our Fan Feedback Friday and I'm going to ask Sean to participate in it. So this one, I got it. Hold on. Describe your paycheck with a movie title. I'll also allow a movie line. So Sean, if you were to describe your paycheck with a movie title or line, what would it be?
Gone with the Wind.
Ah, classic. That's a good one. We have The Hangover. I like that one. We have Gone in 60 Seconds. And then we just have Ronnie, who did a quote from Anchorman that just says, "We are laughing." That's why I changed it to quotes, because of Ronnie. If you want more of Ronnie, go to the Multiverse Fancast. He'll occasionally show up. But that was fun. Anything else, Sean? Did I miss anything?
No, you covered pretty much everything. Very well. Very well.
Man, like, we should do this professionally, but
that would be great.
We'd get paid for it. Yeah. Speaking of which, if you guys want more of our content, all you have to do is go to our website, themisfitfaction.com. You'll find links to all of our shows, all of our merch, everything like that. We're also, like I said, making a big push on YouTube. So make sure you guys check that out. Like, comment, subscribe. Every little bit helps, and we do really appreciate it. We have lots of big plans in the near future, and we couldn't do it without all you guys. Our YouTube channel was just recently monetized, so it's been a big, big adventure. So thank you guys. And also make sure you guys check us out on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and all the social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. Just type in The Misfit Faction. Odds are you'll find some of our stuff. But I think that is going to wrap us up for today. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Hopefully.